Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, who's this?
This is the Abbey Empress Abigail.
Hello, Abigail. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you, boys?
Yeah, really good.
And also we have...
My name's Josh Sharples. Yes, and you are?
I am David Frey.
So, welcome to the HIV Hour on this Thursday evening. It's another lovely evening, isn't it?
Yes, a new month, April.
I know.
Yeah, it's been a long winter, hasn't it? But anyway, that's enough of the HIV Hour weather. We do that every time, don't we?
Yeah, we do, yeah. So, welcome to the show. And, what have you been up to, David?
I do hate it when you ask me that, because my mind goes blank. But, yes, I've been having fun. I've been looking forward to doing this show. I've interviewed somebody that's coming on the show, later. We've got a fantastic interview, a really heartfelt life story of living with HIV.
Yeah, we like doing those. We haven't done one for a while, have we?
It's just so good. Yeah, but some of our podcasts, the most downloadable editions have been people where they've shared their life stories. So people do really take it to heart. And we learn from each other, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I think it's good to get people's stories because everyone's had a different journey, haven't they, with HIV. Yeah. So I know I did mine when I first started, I think.
Yeah, I think my first time on the show was a brief little life history, but I've had quite a bit of life since then, so maybe I have to update it.
I was just about to say that. We need to hear your stories again.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's just good for people to listen to them, I think. Yeah.
And when you said them, I wasn't born, so, you know.
Anyway.
Yeah, you are the basis.
This is how it's going to go. Yeah. How are you, Abigail? What have you been up to this last week?
Oh, I went to see a group at one of the Rope and Taco in Southwick. There's a Ghanaian group which was playing. This is a group from the 70s.
Oh, really? Yeah. They're still going strong today. That's 50 years of
music. I think he said I'm playing on my brother's behalf, so I think
they've carried on the tradition.
Yes, the same. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the festival's coming up and everything at the moment soon, isn't it?
Yeah, so we've got Easter coming up, we've got the May Bank holiday, which is the start of Brighton Festival.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, lots of exciting things.
It's all happening, isn't it?
It's the largest art festival in England, apart from Edinburgh.
Brilliant.
Yeah, including the Fringe, which is massive, loads, thousands of events.
Yeah.
So on the show today, we have the interview that I mentioned, and we have, drum roll please, the debut of the Agony Empress.
Yes.
The Agony Empress,
Yes, Agon Auntie with Agon Gankles, is it? Or Uncles?
Agony Uncles, yes, indeed.
So not ugly.
And we want to thank the listeners in advance just for sending in their questions to our Agony Auntie, and the Agony Uncles have been assisting you, haven't they?
Yeah.
In making phone calls and looking things up on the internet.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's good.
Yeah, yeah. So should we start with a little song?
Yeah, so I've chosen Shine, the Freemasons radio edit with Luther Vandross, and then we're going to go straight into Candy's, your interview with Candy, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
So then we'll see you on the other side of that.
Right, lovely.
So this is Shine.
UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour in Brighton and Hove on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM and on DAB Plus Radio. And in a couple of weeks, you can listen to this show as one of our world famous podcasts, of which there are over 150. You can email us at info@hiv.org.uk. Thank you for listening, and right now, we've got an interview with Candy. Candy was on the International Women's Day episode with Abigail and Sue. And let's hear what Candy has to say.
Yes, we'll see you on the other side of that.
So, good evening, listeners. I'm joined in the studio by the lovely Candy, who the listeners may remember that we had on the fantastic Women's Day episode beginning of March. Hello, Candy.
Hello, David.
Hello there. Lovely to hear, see you. Candy, so you're here to tell us about your story, or journey living with HIV.
Yeah.
And you're quite open about living with HIV, aren't you?
I am now.
So where do you originally come from?
I come from Portugal.
From Portugal.
Yeah, but I travelled Europe before I met my husband, and then met my husband and gone to Italy.
Oh, right. So you met him in Portugal?
I met him in rehab because I was coming out of drugs myself.
Oh, really?
I was right. coming out of heroin.
Yes, oh, really?
And yeah. we met at a rehab centre.
Mm.
And the rest is history.
Right, well, we're going to learn about that history, aren't we? So what was your knowledge about HIV when you were living in Portugal?
Very little. Mm. Rumours.
Really? Yeah.
Not really facts, but just rumours of people dying in America and
yeah,
but we didn't have any knowledge of
any national campaign.
No, really. I think we had the tombstone from you.
Oh, really? Right. Yeah. So you borrowed the campaign that was here. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And did you learn about it in rehab or just through social networks?
Did I learn that from rehab?
No. So what year was this when you met your husband?
1988.
So in the early days of...
Yeah, early days.
What was his name?
Germano.
Germano. Oh,
yeah.
Right. And then you went to Italy.
I went to Italy with him.
Yeah. So he was in... Was he in rehab at the same time as you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we left together.
Yeah. So you moved to Italy sort of... A year or so after?
1988.
Oh, you moved to
August.
Right.
August 1988.
Right. And your husband was very honest with you, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Before you were married?
Yes.
What did he say to you?
That he was HIV positive.
Right. And how did you feel about that?
Worried.
Mm. Yeah.
But I loved him, so.
Yeah, of course. Well, it shouldn't be a barrier to love, should it?
No. Yeah. All the contrary.
And what was the family planning advice you received at the time, if any?
It was panic.
Right. So panic. You wanted a family with him?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And you practiced safer sex. But obviously, pre-treatment and before people knew about undetectable, how were families planned? How did you plan a pregnancy?
You don't. You just don't have you don't have a child.
Right. You don't have a child, yeah.
Yeah. So I started by thinking that I would never have a child.
Right.
Never.
Yeah.
I would never have a child.
Yeah, because obviously to have a child would put you at risk of having HIV.
But here came Maria.
Right.
Speeding down.
So you have a daughter called Maria.
I have a daughter called
Maria. A grown-up daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's negative. Thank God.
Really?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That really
is. She's negative.
Yeah. So what was the advice once she was born? What was the advice that you
gave? There was no advice.
No.
Just stop breastfeeding.
So you were told not to breastfeed?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is good advice.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I didn't touch Maria for 19 days after she was born.
Mm-hmm.
Because of my situation and I couldn't touch her. Couldn't hold her.
Right. Was it a concern that it was cut through contact?
Yeah.
That must have
been
quite
very difficult.
Did that sort of impact on the way you bonded with her? Or you?
It has.
Mm.
And the stigma as well.
Right.
Because I felt the stigma against me, but in a way it was against her as well.
Mm.
Not just for me.
Mm. And how? So your husband became unwell, didn't he?
Yes. In 1994.
Right. So you were together for 6 years.
Yes.
Before he started to fall ill. What do you mind me asking what?
Meningitis.
He had meningitis. Really?
Yes, and then he had TB.
TB, right.
And then he had brain hemorrhage.
Really?
And then I had... His liver was in tatters.
Right.
He ended up dying with his liver burnt.
Right.
Basically.
Really?
From the medication.
Right, really.
Well, of course, all the infections he had.
Yeah, so he had a lot of infections.
He did, yeah.
Which would really suggest that he had AIDS, didn't he?
Yeah.
But that must have been really difficult for you. So were you pregnant at the time, or was Maria already born?
No, I was pregnant at the time.
You were pregnant at the time, so yeah. You were pregnant and your husband was very, very ill.
Yeah.
And what happened next?
Then Maria was born in May, and he survived until the 4th of December.
Right. So he got to meet his daughter?
Yes, he got to meet his daughter.
Oh, that was lovely.
Yeah.
But I mean, but so sad that he passed away.
Yes.
Yeah. And this was in Italy.
Yeah, this was in Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. What kind of support did you have in Italy? Was there any kind of support?
Just go.
Right. Were you living in a city or a rural area?
A rural area.
A rural area.
Coast. Coast area.
Yeah.
But there was no support. They send you to hospital, collect your meds, and that was it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So what kind of... So you knew your husband was ill, and I guess you knew that he was dying.
I knew that
What sort of conversations did you have with him?
Unfortunately, because of the way it all happened, when I discovered him having meningitis, he was in a fetal position and he wasn't able to talk.
Right. Oh, dear.
And before that, when he was ill, we didn't really talk about death, but we both knew it.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't really talk about it.
It was unspoken.
Yeah.
Yeah, you knew what was happening. I suppose there's no need to talk about it, as long as you loved each other.
Yeah.
So when did you discover that you were living with HIV?
So I discovered I was HIV positive 25th of October, 1994.
Right, it's amazing that lots of people remember the date they got their diagnosis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can remember mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah. So it was just before your husband passed away.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I lost my job on the spot.
Right, really? So who told your employers?
Yeah.
Who told your employers?
Oh, because I had had a need. I was a nurse then.
Oh, really?
And I had had a nail incident, a syringe incident.
Right.
So they test me whilst working.
Mm.
This was whilst working.
Mm.
I pricked my finger with a needle.
Yeah.
And then they said, just go up to where they take the bloods and they will tell you.
Yeah.
So I was going to the hospital with my husband, having caught him in a fetal position, classical meningitis. And I was downstairs in A&E with him.
Mm.
They called me upstairs and they said, did you know that you're HIV positive?
Really?
Yeah. That's how I was told. So because it was an internal investigation, it had to go through all the people, all the people above us.
Right, of course. The managers.
The managers, the CEO called me and said, you can't nurse anymore.
Really? So you've got a dying husband, you've got
A newborn baby,
and you've lost your job.
Yeah, on the spot.
So how do you feel?
Terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Devastated, I imagine. This is your whole world just collapsed around.
Desperation.
You. Yeah, yeah. That's awful. So, there was no support at all in like community groups or charities that would help you. So. How did you survive those times after your husband's death? What did you do?
I tried to concentrate on Maria.
Of course, of course.
Because I spent very little time with her.
Mm.
Because I was looking after my husband.
Yeah.
So once he passed, I was trying to concentrate on getting up a bond with Maria again.
Yeah. How long did you stay in Italy for? Because you live in Brighton now, so when did you leave Italy?
I left Italy on 16th of October 1996.
Right.
And came to Brighton.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What was the reaction of people in your community?
About me leaving? In Italy.
About me leaving? Before you left.
Oh, it was just a load of... It was a small village and everyone knew it.
Right.
And he knew that he had been on drugs and rehab and stuff.
Yeah.
And I spoke to his family, tried to explain how the virus was working as best as I could.
Yeah.
I did say to my mother-in-law, this is the end of it.
Yeah, right.
The end is coming.
Right. For you or for him?
For him.
For him, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But also, I thought, did the village know that he was living with HIV, right.
So they saw me in the supermarket the following day of his funeral and said, oh, you're still alive.
Right. Well, they said to you,
yeah.
Are you still alive?
Are you still alive?
Right. That's, That's quite judgmental, isn't it?
Oof, yeah. God. Yeah.
So did they know that you were living with HIV? No. But just
they could only guess.
Yeah, they just.
They assume.
They assumed.
Yeah, they assumed.
Yeah. And how did that make you feel?
Really bad.
Mm.
Really bad. I felt threatened.
Stigmatized, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was really bad.
Strongest possible terms.
Yes, yeah. It was really bad. They stopped changing Maria's nappies at the nursery.
Really?
Yeah.
So they thought she was a threat as well. Wow. Is that why you moved to, decided to leave Italy? Yeah.
And it was also because I hadn't been looking after Maria for a while, and my in-laws kindly stepped in and took hold of Maria.
Mm.
Now that their son was dead, they were hanging on to Maria for death, like, you know.
Well, almost as though she belonged to them and not
yes,
to you.
That's right. And then I would come from work and go to their house and say, I'm here to pick Maria up. Oh, no, it is too cold outside. Oh, she's here. She's much better here in the warmth. You don't have to drive. And I was finding it a bit difficult to get opportunities to spend time with Maria because they were so involved.
Yeah.
They didn't mean badly. I completely understand. But it was impossible to me to create a proper bond with Maria.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're taking control, really.
Yeah, they did.
With no ill will.
No. Absolutely not.
Thought they knew
and
better.
I don't resent them for that at all. No, not at all.
So why did you decide to come to Brighton?
I had a man come to put my aerial up.
Hmm.
He got chatting and that's it.
Right, he said, oh, have you heard about Brighton?
No, he said he was from Brighton.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I moved on the 16th of October.
Right.
With £4,000 and a toddler.
Right.
Not even a toddler, baby.
Right. Well, so you didn't know anybody here apart from the aerial man.
No, I didn't know anyone in here. I didn't know English.
Mm. So tell us about how you settled in Brighton and what was your engagement with the healthcare here?
For the first 14, from 96 to 2009, I didn't tell anyone that I was positive.
Not even the hospital here?
No.
Right, so even though treatment had just started?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I refused.
Right.
And then I was being followed in Italy. I wasn't followed up in here. I was followed up in Italy.
Mm.
Just the blood test and in the medication. And that was all.
So up until 1999, nobody in Brighton knew you were living with HIV?
Up to 2009.
2009, right. So that's a good 10 years.
Yes, 14 years.
And you've done well to live that long.
Without medication.
Without medication. So what made you decide to engage with healthcare here?
I got too ill. I always just found myself that I couldn't cope anymore.
Right. What were your symptoms?
Oh, sweats and fevers and pain and all of that stuff. I couldn't cope anymore.
Right. So you contacted the hospital here?
I contacted the hospital here.
Yeah, the Lawson unit. Yeah.
The Lawson unit.
Yeah. And who was your doctor?
Dr. Debbie Williams.
Ah, Debbie Williams. Yeah, she's my doctor as well.
Yes.
Yeah, she's lovely. So how did you discover communities that could support you in Brighton?
Through leaflets.
In the clinic?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Through leaflets and other people pointed me.
Yeah. What was the most valuable support you received in Brighton?
The Beacon, there's no doubt.
The Beacon, Sussex Beacon.
Yeah. There's no doubt.
So,
THT as well.
Terence Higgins Trust.
Engaged with them as well.
Yeah. So this was before Lunch Positive, wasn't it, I think?
Yes.
Yeah. Great. I mean, as we know, there's fantastic charities here in Brighton. So what kind of support did you receive from the Sussex Beacon?
Well, they put me in touch with the benefit people and helped me sort all of that out. And
you were too ill to work, weren't you?
Yes, I was too ill to work.
Yeah.
Although I still worked.
Yeah. Were you working as a nurse here?
I worked here for 3 months.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Really?
I absolutely hated it.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't do it.
Oh, okay.
I was doing private stuff.
Right, yeah.
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 Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
So did you stay in the inpatient unit in the Beacon just to get your strength?
Yes.
And what happened to Maria then?
Maria was with me.
She stayed with you at the Beacon?
No, my in-laws came.
Right.
And look after her.
Right.
For a week, and then
yeah,
I was on.
Good, good, good. And you are now actually quite an activist, aren't you?
An activist, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I know you've taken part in the portrait exhibition. There's more to me than HIV.
Yes.
Great
project.
Proudly making. Pretending to bake, aren't you?
Pretending to bake.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lovely portrait. If listeners get a chance to see it again when it's out again, I do encourage you to go and see it and look for the baker, and that's Candy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The name.
But you don't mind people knowing that you're HIV, no. Do you? Yeah.
Not anymore.
So obviously you were stigmatised in Italy, weren't you, for living with HIV? But in Brighton, you felt comfortable enough to be quite public about living with HIV.
After all those years, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt, I don't have a problem now disclosing HIV positive.
So what changed in sort of, you know, because obviously lots of people are scared of the stigma because of other people's judgments. Mm. So you're not bothered about people judging you now, are you? I mean, you've admitted that you were in rehab for drugs and you're living with HIV. But there's no, it's you've lived a life, haven't you?
I have indeed.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, who is anybody to judge you?
Yeah, I know.
For what you've had to go through. What's the best advice you've ever been given about HIV?
Best advice?
Yeah.
Take one day at a time.
Yeah, take one day at a time. And take your medication.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
the case for me because I'm on injectables.
Right. And how have you found treatment for HIV? What's been your experience?
Not very nice when I started. I started with efavirenz.
Efavirenz. Yeah. The funny dreams.
Yeah, the funny dreams.
Yeah. Yeah.
The triplet. That wasn't very good either.
Yeah.
But I went for all those medications.
As many of us have done.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I went for all those medications.
Living with HIV for how long now?
31.
31 years. Wow. That's a long time. That's a lifetime.
That's Maria's age.
Yes, yeah. And it just goes to show you that you can live a long and healthy, productive life living with HIV.
Yeah.
But the importance is to get tested, isn't it?
Of course.
And to get onto treatment.
Of course, to get onto treatment.
How did you feel when you learnt about U equals U?
I felt exhilarating.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
That I can now have sex without a condom because
your viral load is suppressed.
My viral load is
And you can't less pass than it on. Four.
No, I can't pass it on.
Terms Against Trust campaign slogan. Yeah. That's absolutely true. And so you've had issues with medication, but you're now on injectables?
Injectables, yeah.
And what's your experience of those?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, yeah.
All good things.
So you don't have to take pills anymore?
No, I don't.
So how often do you have your injections?
Every 2 months.
Every 2 months, yeah.
Yeah.
So you actually see a doctor more often than people who are taking tablets?
Yeah.
Because you have to have the tablets and check your levels and things.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have to give.
But no serious side effects with those?
No.
Great. You're on the HIV Hour today. How do you feel about being on the radio? It doesn't bother you?
No, it doesn't bother
me. That's good. So let's tell us a little bit about your HIV activism. What's the first sort of campaign or involvement you had in helping a charity?
First of all, disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
You have to disclose your status.
Yeah.
And you have to accept your status. Mm.
Yes.
Which is not always that easy.
No.
And the best advice, it was live one day at a time.
Live one day at a time. Yeah, I think that's just advice for life, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. If HIV is insignificant now in our lives because of being medication. Undetectable, what is the problem?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Yeah.
That's
the Martin Fisher Foundation bus. Says on the side, you know, HIV isn't scary anymore.
No.
But people are scared of it.
Oh, yeah, they are. They still are.
Yeah,
Yeah.
And I can understand why, because it's the fear of the unknown. But it's people like yourself and the team at HIV Hour that sort of talk about it openly.
Yeah.
It sort of spreads information, doesn't it? What other things have you done with your activism?
I was part of the group at THT
mm-hmm.
called Straight Up, I think.
Straight Up, yeah, yeah.
There was a very old dating. It wasn't a dating thing, but it was where you went to meet people that were in the same situation as you.
Yeah, because it must be difficult to meet heterosexual men who are living with HIV. They're more difficult to find.
Obviously,
in Brighton, 95% or 93% of people living with HIV are gay men.
Yes.
So finding straight men and women is difficult. So that must have been quite valuable, actually, because you could talk about your relationships and how to negotiate sex and things like that. Was this before Bugle's You?
Before.
Yeah. So you still were, it still wasn't known.
No.
That you couldn't pass it on sexually. Although I think the data was starting to show that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And you've been to London.
Oh, yes, I have. With the lovely David.
With me, yes.
And Rachel.
Yeah. And who did we meet?
We met the Prime Minister and the
Health Secretary. Yeah.
And
you were awesome that day.
I drank some of their wine.
All right. What do you think of the Downing Street wine?
Just all bog.
It was all bubbles, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, finally, it's a fantastic story. You're living well. Your daughter is living well.
Yeah. She's pregnant. You're going to be a nonna. Yeah, I'm going to be a nonna.
Yeah, fantastic.
So that's lovely.
Do you know the gender of the
boy?
A boy.
A boy.
Oh, wow. You started knitting.
I started buying.
You started buying, yeah. Life's too short.
Leave
to
the
knit.
Yeah. The knitting.
And what activities are you currently involved with, in terms of living a healthy lifestyle?
So I'm in a study called Sphere.
Oh, yes, I've heard
the Spheres,
of that.
The Sphere study. Mm-hmm. And they give you wealth coaching live and...
Life
and well-being coaching. Mm. So I'm now involved with them. I do my usual things.
Yeah, you go to the mindfulness group.
I go to the mindfulness group. I go to day service. I go swimming. Exercise class.
The women and families group.
The women and families, the mindfulness.
Yeah. So you're quite active, aren't you, within the community?
I am a bit.
When you think about it all, you're just getting on with things, living one day at a time. But when you step back a bit, it's like, oh wow, I'm doing a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, well done you. I mean, and thank you for joining us. So finally, Candy, if there are people out there who are scared about HIV, what would your advice be to them?
Come and talk to the various organisations that are available for people living with HIV, like Sussex Beacon, THT, Lunch Positive, Peerlink, all of those things that can point you on the right direction.
Yeah, this is, so Antonis Higgins Trust is for people who are not living with HIV as well.
If you're
scared about getting tested,
yes,
go and see them, and they do offer testing as well, little finger prick tests, don't they? So...
Yeah.
Candy, it's been a pleasure to have you join us. Thank you very much.
Wave Community Bank proudly sponsors Radio Reverb. Safe savings and affordable loans for our community.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area and on DAB Plus Radio. That was just a little sponsorship message from Wave Community Bank, who are sponsors of the Radio Reverb radio station. And we are very proud to be sponsored by Jack Russell Technologies.
We are, yes.
We are indeed. So now
that was an amazing interview.
It was, wasn't it?
It's good to get.
And Candy is so open and honest about talking about her journey and her story living with HIV. And it was great to have her on the Women's Edition episode recently.
I think it's
as a gay man, I find listening to the stories of women and non-gay men fascinating, though, because we all learn from each other, don't we?
Yeah. Candy's an amazing woman.
I've known her
for more than 20 years.
Yeah, because you worked in the Positive Voices program in the early days of it, didn't you?
Yes, the first time it started, yeah.
Yeah, so going out into schools and businesses.
Schools, yes.
So all these amazing initiatives that started and grown from something that small and then built into these amazing things, isn't
it? Yeah, and we are a talk show. I mean, we've got obviously presenters that have done talks. Sue is a fantastic motivational speaker. And it's good to talk about HIV.
It's good to get the message out there, isn't it?
It is indeed, yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's education is power, isn't it? I mean, the old tombstone campaigns that some of us may remember said, don't die of ignorance. And really, to get rid of the stigma, we have to be open and I encourage people to be open and talk about it.
Yeah.
Because every life is a unique life, isn't it? And just to have a non-judgmental attitude towards other people, I think it would make the world a better place.
And it also taps into if someone's had a similar experience, that makes that support and that feeling that people have.
And so where to go for advice and stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
yes, drum roll again.
Drum roll again. We have the lovely Agni Auntie here, Abigail. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Abigail.
And
hello.
her assistant Agni Uncles will be stepping in as well.
Yes.
So, Josh, you've got a question, I think, from a listener. And I must thank listeners for getting in touch with us. And for people that don't know how to get in touch with us, please do email us at info@hivhour.org.uk.
Yeah, so I got this message on, I forgot what it's called now.
Meta thing.
And it's someone's asking, they're moving to Australia on a working holiday visa and will be staying for up to 3 years. They're currently on HIV treatment with an undetectable viral load, and they'll bring an initial supply with them. They just want to know, really, any guidance on accessing care or medication through sexual health services when they move. So
I must admit, this question did stump me a little bit, and I think it's really for the experts. What do you think, Abigail?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's for the experts.
Yeah.
But we can just put our 2 cents in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we're not professionals as in things, but we can offer advice, can't we, and support and signposting people.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. So we're very lucky in the United Kingdom, or fortunate to have the NHS.
Yes.
Australia doesn't have a National Health Service funded in the same way that is funded here. So they have a system of private healthcare insurance called Medicare.
Right.
And okay. I think the person that emailed us in or contacted you, Josh, I think they've done some research themselves.
Yes.
And they don't think that they'd be entitled to Medicare. So what was your initial thoughts on this, Josh?
I suppose it's just contacting the appropriate pharmacy or HIV pharmacy in UK,
yeah,
that you go to, and then also trying to get a communication going with where you're going to in that town, I would say, to get some, you know, some proper advice from them, I think.
Yeah. So I mean, as a patient, it's difficult to know how to negotiate the different pathways that there are in any health service.
Yeah,
because you're dealing with your health condition yourself. You don't know how to refer and who the experts to speak to. But I think your advice of contact your local HIV pharmacist and see if they can get in touch with pharmacists in Australia.
I think they should first speak to their doctors.
Yeah. Yes.
And hear what they say, because normally the pharmacist to be able to give their medication, it comes from the doctor. So you can speak to their doctors and what they say, depending where they are. I know we are lucky in Brighton. Our doctors are quite approachable.
Yeah.
Mm. And our pharmacists are approachable. Mm. Everyone at the clinic, at the Lawson Clinic, is quite approachable. Mm. So it depends where you are. And then just speak to your doctor and see what they say.
I mean, even somewhere like THT Forum or something as well might help. If you're in an area that doesn't have that, like, you know, you're looking Brighton, so if you're in a rural area, maybe contacting an organisation.
Yes,
like
have other patient Higgins groups Trust. And seeing if other people. I mean, Australia is a common destination for people from the UK, yeah, so yeah. There must be other people that have been through that. So I'm sorry that I haven't found that information out. But we have admitted that we're not experts in things, but we can just offer advice, can't we? Happy to go.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think what you say is there's probably people have gone through the same situation. Yes. So there'll be some kind of what's the word?
Arrangement.
Arrangement, I'm sure. Especially with
I think clinics want to support their patients, don't they? And I think that's the same globally. Whatever country you're in, clinics and doctors, they're an amazing profession, pharmacists as well as doctors, and they want to support their patients.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And keeping in mind too, like 2030, zero transmission. Yes. So of course the clinics should maybe.
Yeah, that's a global initiative from UNAIDS, isn't it? So yeah. I think the whole world is working together to reduce HIV transmissions and to keep people living with HIV
on medication. Yeah.
Just another part to that question is: so do people have to disclose their status when they go to Australia?
I don't think so, no. Because they're part of the Commonwealth. I don't think we ask people to declare their status. Yeah. You can come in and, you know, just your private medical information is your private medical information, isn't it? It's up to you if you want to share that. Obviously, some countries insist, or used to insist, that you had an HIV test before you went, just in case you were a drain on their health, health resources. I mean, I think in America, you technically still, I might be wrong on this, but until recently, you certainly did have to tell them, and if you didn't tell them, they could send you straight back.
Yeah. A lot of places change now, haven't they? So,
yeah. So the world's more educated now than it used to be.
So I hope that kind of helped. I mean, I know it wasn't too in-depth, but it's a difficult one to...
Yeah, I think this is a question for the professionals.
Definitely. So you've got a question for Agnes.
Yeah, so this is a question that was sent to Abigail. And this is about a lady who is living in the Sussex area, and she's not very happy with her clinic, and she wants to be referred to the Sunflower Clinic. And the Sunflower Clinic is a clinic in Brighton. It's run. It's like a part of the Lawson unit, and it is specialist care provided for cis and transgendered women. And the services are provided by women. In fact, Professor Yvonne Galise is the person that set this clinic up, and she works with Dr. Debbie Williams. So the Sunflower Clinic, based at the Lawson unit, can offer support and information and education around HIV treatment, contraception, fertility, pregnancy, sexually transmitted infections, cervical smears, menopause, bone and heart health, domestic violence, substance use, sexual assault, social issues and concerns around mental health. Now, the team that support these women is a team of staff that includes a health worker, an advisor, peer support worker from the Sussex Beacon, who we are very fond of, HIV consultant, family planning and reproductive health consultant, and a specialist nurse. So, and they can have continued specialist support and onward referrals if required. Now, this lady that contacted Abigail wanted to go to the Sunflower Clinic, and the Sunflower Clinic said, we can't refer you.
No, her clinic where she is, they said you have to refer yourself.
Right.
Yes, and she doesn't know how to do that.
Right.
And because they're sort of she says they're making it difficult for her to transfer her treatment, she's now sort of threatening to stop treatment because she's not happy where she is.
Oh,
and she's a lovely woman. I know her. She's strong-headed. But so I'm glad you did a research and the Sunflower Clinic are happy.
Yeah. So please do not stop taking your medication. I know sometimes if things seem catastrophic in your life and you're not happy with things, it's one of the things that we have control over is whether to take medication or not.
Yeah.
But we know that taking your medication will keep you healthy.
Yeah.
So I did phone the Lawson unit yesterday and they were very helpful. There are two ways that this lady can go to the Sunflower Clinic. She can either leave her clinic wherever she's currently, her HIV care is currently based, and move her entire HIV care to the Lawson unit.
How does she do that?
So there is a So yes, she has to contact the Lawson unit directly herself. So just a quick phone call or an email address, and that should start the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, if she's living in a rural area and travel to the Lawson unit is difficult for regular appointments.
Or she drives.
But even with the cost of fuel, there are expenses involved, aren't there?
Yeah.
So that's one way to transfer the entire care.
Yeah.
The other way is the Lawson unit, the Sunflower Clinic, does want to support women as far as they can within our area,
mm-hmm.
and they very kindly gave me a contact details of a manager that can put her directly in touch with the leads that at the Sunflower Clinic, and she can still keep her care where she's based, her HIV care, so I get the medication, but for the specialist things like the bone health and the reproductive health and all the other things that I mentioned beforehand, she can access that care at the Sunflower Clinic, which obviously she would have to travel. It's possible. So we will get in contact with her and give her that email address for the manager that I spoke to yesterday. And they were very helpful yesterday.
Yeah. Brilliant.
We are so blessed, aren't we, to have such
good... Well, I was going to say that. I mean, that just says the question about if you're in a rural area. I mean, if you're in Sussex, Brighton's close. But if you're in an even more rural area and you're not happy with your HIV care, that's a hard one to deal with, isn't it?
It does seem, I don't know the circumstances, but it must feel for her like there are barriers.
Yeah.
There.
Yes, I think that's how she feels.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And that's why she's talking about drastic medication, but really, please don't.
I've told you, don't.
Yeah.
I think it's just a way of protest, and then I am saying you can't protest hurting yourself.
Yes.
Going to eat a tree.
Yeah.
It's about self-caring, like we've talked about.
It's not an empty threat, though, is there? It's one thing that we have control over.
No, but the fact that she's reaching out and talking, it means she needs help.
Yes, yeah. And thank you for getting in touch with
her. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's really good.
And keep your questions coming in. We do have another question. Abigail?
We're going to have a song first.
We're going to have a song, and then we're going to go to the final question we have.
That'd be good, actually. Agni Auntie. Yes. Abigail, what's your song choice? Can you remember?
My song is called Paid to Exist.
Good song, this, actually. Shall we listen?
Yes.
Welcome back to the HIVR on 97.2 FM and RadioReverb.com. So that was, actually, we'll just get that right, it was Paid to Exist, but the name of it is, just go say it again, sorry. DRDVIX. Now, I don't know if that's just...
None of us know how to pronounce that, do we?
Dvdix or...
Dvdix.
Yes. Did you say it was AI?
No, I'm not sure.
If you did sing that song, apologies for saying it.
Yeah.
No, it means it. Yeah. It's a very good song.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Great singer.
You saw me moving, just making some shakes.
You were jiggling a bit, weren't you?
I was.
You're doing your jiggling. So anyway, we've got one more question, haven't we? And that's from Abigail.
Yes. The other question is, this comes from a new grandmother.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. So when her son's partner gave birth to a beautiful baby girl, this woman's son started crying and saying, I never thought my mom would live to see me have a child. Wow. And the partner said, what do you mean? And he just said, because my mom is living with HIV.
Right.
And he was very unwell many, many years ago. So I never thought you'd be here to celebrate me having a child.
Mm.
Unfortunately, the daughter-in-law heard was, the woman has got HIV and she's going to infect her child.
Right.
Mm. That was the assumption.
Yeah. So from that time, when the grandmother went to see the child in hospital, she was not allowed access. And up to now, she's not allowed access. And she doesn't know what to do.
That's difficult, isn't it? You're sort of, stigmatized by a family member.
Yes.
It's education, isn't it?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it educating and trying to...
Yeah, how do you offer? I mean, obviously, the mother is trying to protect her child, but she doesn't have up-to-date information.
Yes.
Does she?
Yes. And yet, the friends all these years when she was dating the son, should go to your house, they'll cook, they're good friends. Mm. Now I don't know what has changed. Is it because she's got this precious thing and she thinks something might happen? I don't know.
It's breaking down those old...
Yeah. What's the HIV information like where this family live?
They actually live in Brighton.
They live in Brighton? Mm. Right. So there's very good information out there. Yeah.
Excuse me. Sorry.
It's okay.
So there are lots of charities that can help. Well, my first thought is Terence Higgins Trust.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know what advice they could... Or they've got leaflets. I don't think it's peer... It's not a peer mentoring thing, is it? It's... I mean, the grandmother could meet with a peer mentor that maybe had that life experience.
Yeah, when I got this question, I rang one lady whom I know. She told me many years she had the same experience.
Mm.
So I rang her and I said, can you tell me what did you do when you had this situation? When I asked her, she took like a minute to answer. She said, it's a difficult one.
Mm. It is.
Said it's a very, very difficult one because she has also got, she went through the same thing. And she's not seen her grandkids. They're now adults.
Right.
And she said, because there was this tension and their son was not happy that the wife didn't like his mother, they ended up divorcing. Mm. And she...
That's awful.
The wife and the kids have moved somewhere else, but...
Would the son benefit from going and get the advice to tell his wife? If the grandmother tries and says, there's a barrier there, isn't there, already, because of the stigmatisation of... if the son could support his wife by getting advice from Terence Higgins Trust, that's what I would suggest.
I think that's what they should do, but I also think... Because this just happened recently, I would advise you to just keep back a little bit because new mothers can be quite sensitive.
Right, yeah.
That's only natural,
yeah,
I think.
Yes, yeah, and the, yeah. Yeah, it's just natural.
So don't rush
and then
it.
Maybe.
Give it a bit of time.
Yes.
Give it a bit of time. That's a really good.
Yes.
That's a really good.
Give it time.
I'm sorry, guys, but we're going to have to
move on.
Yeah, because we've come to the end of this show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Outrageous.
Oh, what a shame. I was enjoying myself.
Well, it's a great... This is the first time we've done it, and it's good. So, yeah.
Just listeners, this is a talk show, and if you have experience similar to the questions that have been asked, please do get in touch with us, info@hivhour.org.uk,
yes.
And the Agony Auntie and Uncles will pass that information on.
Yeah, so please do contact us. And just a bit of community news very quickly. Ollie Alexander, who was a BAFTA nominated actor, has become a patron of the Brighton based charity and the Sussex Beacon. So that's good news, isn't it?
Yes.
So he ran the marathon, didn't he? The half marathon.
Yeah,
so.
He's really supportive towards HIV causes and LGBTQI
plus
causes. He actually launched the half marathon race for the Sussex Beacon. I'm thrilled to see him as a patron of the Sussex Beacon.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get on at some time because I know he's very busy.
Yeah,
He's
a big, famous pop star.
So. Yes. So we come to the end of the show. Thank you for listening.
Wow.
Thank you, Abigail.
Thank you. It's
our new.
Carry on, but
it's a shame to the end. Yeah. Your track.
So, yes, so to go out, I've chosen Teardrop by Massive Attack.
Fabulous. And we'll
cheerio,
see you,
folks.
Cheery bye.
Bye bye, guys.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news, and views on living positively with the virus.